want to see the last place I was at with this same topic. Now, a couple of things that the Lord's been giving me, and they have been these things. Let's see. Here's another one. Wait, maybe it's in here. Oh, boy. Let's just see where I had that. Just a minute. Oh, my goodness. I don't know where I was. Flow, huh? Well, I'd like to, but I need to know where I am. Praise God. Now, before I left, the Wednesday before I left, I had an opening scripture. Does anybody have the notes from that? What? Romans what? 10. Okay, let's go there. Romans 10. Changing your world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans 10. Okay. All right. Romans 10. Changing your world. Yeah, here it is right here. Patrice had written it, and I kind of blew it there. Okay. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the anointing on me and these lips of clay, that I may speak forth your word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. Think to my mind, speak to my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right. I'd like to start reading here, and I want to start reading at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? Now he's talking about what would righteousness say. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by, keep going, the word of God. All right. Now, as we look at this, whenever you're in faith, the enemy is, you'll find that you enter into a fight, because faith is that which not only will give you overcoming victory, but faith will also give you the ability to change everything around you. It will absolutely transform places in the earth. I was over in India last week, the week before, preaching, and I was preaching on the blessing, and that God, whatever he gives you as a part of your inheritance, that you have to apply faith to it for it to work. And if he gives you blood, let's say the blood of Jesus as a weapon, a blood of Jesus as a cleansing for your conscience, and so forth, then you need faith to work it. Over in Romans chapter 3, as a matter of fact, if you'll turn over there real quick, Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, or a mercy seat, through faith in his what? Blood. So you have to have faith in the blood. And I told you about a man who was working in his garage doing some carpentry, and he lifted his head and gashed his head open with a nail that was stuck out of the wood. And he gashed his head open and he began to confess the blood of Jesus over it. And first thing that happened is the blood stopped flowing. It dried up. And the next thing that happened is that the wound that was cut disappeared. Now, I'm talking about through the blood, but He wrote a whole book on the blood. And I think we got a new bookstore. Now, I'm saying he studied the blood, understands the blood, and has faith in the blood. And the more faith you have in it, the more it'll do for you. Got it? All right, so that's the blood. Look at Acts chapter 3 now. So Acts chapter 3, this is where this man, he was sitting by the gate beautiful, and he was begging for alms. He was poor. And what happened was Peter and John passed by, fastened their eyes on him, and he expected to receive something from them, but they said, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ," verse 6, "of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up, stood and walked, entering in with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and doing what? Praising God. Now notice what happened. This man had never walked. Everybody knew he never walked. He never had even a senses of walking. His legs might have been doubled up, whatever have you. But notice what happened. This happened. So Peter began to explain it. In verse 12, and Peter said, "And when Peter saw all the people come, he answered the people and said, 'You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith, come on, in his name, has made this man strong." See? So even when you baptize and baptize in the what? Name of Jesus, your faith in that name, the person who you just baptized, they don't have no faith yet. They just had faith to be saved. But faith in his name by the people who are baptizing him can cause this man to be delivered of cocaine right there at that point. You got what I'm saying? So that's the blood. That's the name. Now, how about the Word of God? What will the Word of God do? Now, the Word of God is quick, come on, and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So my faith in his word is what causes his word to work for me. Again, my faith in his word, whatever he says, by his stripes you are healed, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Virtue is in the word. Virtue is power. It comes with the word. It comes with the word. And if you receive that word, virtue comes with it and will do whatever it says. Turn over here with me to Numbers chapter, glory to God, chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. Let me know when you get there. Numbers 23. Oh my goodness. I got to get to where I'm getting right here. Numbers chapter 23. Look what it says here in verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not what? Do it. Or has he spoken, keep going, and shall he not, come on, make it good. Who's going to make it good? Whatever he says, he's going to make it good. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. How many of you know Jesus was the Word? He was a Word living, made flesh, showing you what the Word can do. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, "Thou hast well seen. For I will," what? "Hasten my word," keep going, "to perform it. Anybody else have another translation of that particular verse? I will watch over my word and make it good. I'm going to make it good. If I said it, I'm going to make it good. I said, if I said it, he said, I'm going to make it good. So now when we have that, let's go back to Romans chapter 10 again. And in Romans chapter 10, he says this in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, saying in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the what? Word of faith, which we preach. So you don't need to call Jesus to come down here and help you. He gave you the word. You don't need to get him come back from the dead. He gave you the word. Say amen to this. Amen. All right. Now, the last one that I preached overseas was found in Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, and look what it says here. It says in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power, keep going, and riches, keep going, and wisdom, keep going, and strength, keep going, and honor, and glory, and what else? And blessing. And blessing. Now that blessing is the most powerful thing that you have, I believe, at your disposal, if you know what it is. Because that's the same power God used to create the earth. Amen. He gave it to you. You see, he made you like him and then gave you his blessing. Amen. So blessing was given to continue the work of creation in the earth. It's given to you to finish and be able to repair whatever's broke. Now, how do you do this? The word of faith. It's in your mouth, in your heart, and in your mouth. You don't need to struggle with anything. Just speak to it. Now, that is tough on the flesh, because the flesh will, it wants to do something. Something. But Jesus just spoke to the plant. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. Whenever he spoke loud, it told you he spoke loud. Amen. The place that I see that he spoke louder is when he got to the gravesite of Lazarus. Amen. And the reason why they say he spoke loud, so that they could hear it. Other than that, he was speaking like this. Amen. Peace, be still. Amen. Boop! Power in the way. Come on now, we used to do it. Hey! Am I right about it? I mean, we got to put something in there, because we've been taught that loudness is power. Say amen to that. I mean, that's why we, kids. I told you. See, that's power, but not so in the spirit. It comes out of your heart. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, it's something firm, because Brother Hagin teaches that, it's like a dog, following you or something. You say, go on back home now, go back. And then he keeps following you, get! And, he goes back home. Sometimes you have to be forceful with the enemy. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't come out. But he doesn't come out because you talk loud. He comes out because of the word of faith. Does this make sense to you? Yes. So I'm saying, in your situation, if you have a situation you don't like, fix it. You fix it with the word. Now, how does faith come? And hearing by what? The word of God. All right? Now, what I want to talk about just for a few minutes is what you get has a lot to do with how you see yourself. What you can do for God in this earth has a whole lot to do with how you see yourself. Hey. Because there has to be a certain image for you to receive this kind of authority, anointing, or whatever have you. There has to be a certain image that you have to have. And God has made you in that image. When Adam was first made, heaven and earth were one. They were an extension of one another. When Adam sinned, the line came in. And mankind fell below the line. Where Satan is the God. So now mankind became subject to the whims of Satan. So Satan took it over. So now he's running the earth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, it's better not to even be born under that system. But now Jesus comes. Jesus begins to operate in the word of faith. They even went to Jerusalem, and whatever they did, they left, and they thought Jesus was with them. He was 12 years old. And they came 3 days' journey, finding out he wasn't with them. They got upset about it, went back in town, and he was in the synagogue, astounding the religious leaders. Watch this. And they said to him, "Don't you know we were looking for you?" And I'm paraphrasing now. He said, "But don't you know I should be about my father's business?" You look through those scriptures. I don't ever remember him saying he was from Bethlehem. He said, "I was born from above." What was he doing? Feeding his image. "Well, I'm from Southside." No, wait. Hold on. I'm just saying, isn't it interesting how the system tries to get you to feed your natural image? Whereas, watch this, you are more spiritual than you are natural. But the enemy is trying to make you think you're more natural than you are spiritual. Because if you get over on the spiritual side, you'll dominate the natural. So you were born from above. Now, how do I know that? Turn to John chapter 3, please. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. You are ambassadors for Christ. That means you've been sent here by God on a mission or assignment to do a certain thing. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. I'm just saying, all through this, what this thing is doing is strictly giving you a new image of who you are. Why? Because I've got to recreate an image of who I am in my thinking so I can receive my inheritance. Where did I just tell you to turn? John chapter 3. Look at verse 3. Put it up there. No, put verse 1 up there, please. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Keep going. And the same came to Jesus by night. Nick at night. Came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." Next verse. Jesus answered and said him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Got it? Now, does anybody have a synecdoche column reference when it says, "Unless a person be born again"? What does it say in the Greek?
Born from above.
Born from above. You can put it in your Bible. Unless you're born from above, you can't see the kingdom. And I truly believe, watch this, I'm going somewhere now, that you can step over there in your spiritual dimension and see inheritance. Better hear me now. And I believe Jesus could see it. See, you could see the resources. See, God made it that way at the beginning. That's where Adam functioned. See? And so notice what happened. Let's go to this. Praise God. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse where he said, Lord, open his eyes. 2 Kings chapter 6. Come on, help me somebody. Verse what? Okay, start at verse 14. This is when Elisha is out with his servant and the king or the enemy has sent armies of the Syrians to surround him. So they've been surrounded by night now, by night. Nobody saw him coming in the natural. But now we woke up in the morning, his servant Gehazi went to get him some water or something and noticed they were surrounded by the enemy soldiers. Watch this. Therefore sent thither horses, chariots, and great hosts, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Keep going. You are the... Wait. Whoop. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. I thought I had gone too far out there. You know, I thought I saw something. Okay. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he'd gone forth. Behold, the host compassed the city, both horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Keep going. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Watch these. Keep going. And he Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, what? Open his eyes. He didn't say, open his eyes if it be thy will. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, behold, mountains was full of what? Horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Are we talking about discernment again? And I'm telling you, you didn't function by learning. You functioned by discerning. It was a whole different way of operating when Adam was operating. Now I'm saying we're coming back to that because God is restoring the years that the cankerworm is taking away. We're coming back to a place where you're going to be able to see your resources. Yes. Folks, if you can see your resources, you got a whole new level of faith. Yes, sir. Let's see what faith is. Come on up there with me. Faith. Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Pardon me. Look what it said in faith. Now faith is a what? Substance of things what? Hope for, keep going. The evidence of things what? Not seen. Let me ask you something. Could you have evidence of something if it didn't exist? No, you can't. No, you can't. The reason why you have faith is because you got evidence. And the reason why you got any evidence is because it already exists. It already exists, folks. Your house already exists. Come on now. Come on. Your healing already exists. Your deliverance already exists. Now, what does faith do? Got it? Now, to get faith to operate, we're going to have to say something. We're going to have to, why? Because first, faith got to come. It's got to come off that page into your heart. You ready? Turn to Romans chapter 4 and then verse 17. Let's just look at that. How y'all doing? You doing okay? See, when you got faith, you don't need to manipulate anybody. Because faith says you can't stop me anyway. Am I right about it? And faith says that I don't need to depend on you for my livelihood. Because I've got an inheritance. It's everything I need is already there. All right, put it up there on the board, Romans 4:17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Watch this. Even God, who quickeneth the dead, and what does he do? Calleth things which what? Be not as though they were. That's the way God operates. And now I'm going to tell you something. for you to do and get what God has for you, you're going to have to step over in there. You're going to have to start saying you're healed before you can feel anything that feels any semblance of healing. You're going to have to start saying I'm rich before you, when your pocketbook is dry as a bone. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you be in this country or another country, makes no difference, because your provision don't come from the natural country. It comes from God. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. So it doesn't make any difference. That's why Bishop Edebo came over here from Nigeria. He said, I never received a dime from America. Never received a dime from him. And Forbes has written him up as one of the richest people or men or pastors in Africa. I just, my son showed it to me on his iPhone. Man, I said, what? And I told him, I said, man, you know, they showed you as one of the richest pastors in Africa. I said, they showed you worth $150 million. He said, oh, Bill, that's low. I said, oh. Okay, very good. All right, let me show you this. Now, understand, these principles work, and this whole blessing thing is powerful, but these principles work no matter where you are, who you are, what background you have, what business you're in. It doesn't make any difference. All these principles are the same. And God is expecting people, no matter whether you're a physician or whether you're a business person or whether you're a homemaker, He expects you to walk by faith. Amen. Without it, you cannot please God. All right, let me just cover a couple of points. We're going to let you go. All right, this is the point that I wanted to make for you. One, identification, one man said, is the strongest force in the world of the spirit. Identification is the strongest force in the world of the spirit. Your understanding your new birth connects you with a supernatural source. Now, that's a profound thing. Your understanding your new birth connects you with a supernatural source. And that's the most important thing, that you be connected with God. Now, I'm going to say it. I'm going to give it to you. You ready? Whatever God can handle, you can handle. That's scripture. And that's what the Pharisees didn't like about Jesus, because he said that. He said, I and the Father are one. And they wanted to pick up stones and stone him. Why? The enemy does not want you to get a hold of and confess your true identity. Because he knows a grasshopper image can't manage $1 billion. You cannot do it. Got it? Okay, also, if you don't grow up, you cannot access your inheritance. So you've got to grow up. You've got to stop getting mad with folks. You've got to stop complaining about things. If you can fix your world, why are you complaining? It doesn't make any difference what's happened to it. You can fix it. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, when the enemy tells you you're only human, that's a lie. Amen. And you are to detest that in every area of your life. If you're in business and he tells you you're only human, tell him you're a liar. If you're in whatever, you're in school and he tells you you're only human, that's a lie. Why? Because you're no longer only human. You have been born again, and the person inside of that body is God's child. And they have divinity as their DNA. Boy, that was powerful. You have divinity as your DNA. No longer are you only human. So, when you have God, with God, all things are what? Possible. He's the vine and you're the branches. Many Christians are being robbed of their inheritance and cheated by the devil and his agents because they refuse to accept their identity. Now, let me show you an example of that. I'm just about to wrap up. Let's go over here to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. Now, if you're getting a little angry with what I'm saying, it's because you need to cast that devil out. You need to get rid of that influence that maybe is trying to tell you that you're not who God says you are. Say amen to that. Amen. Folks, it is amazing. I came here to this city. I know why I came here. I came here to deliver the people in this city from bondage. I know why I came here. Now, God has got me going all over now, but I know why I came here. Because I asked God, I said, God, what is this? When I first came here and I was riding around, I said, what is this? He said, it's a big plantation. I said, wow. He said, you have come to deliver these people. I said, okay, now, you got to bring a lunch for that task because that's an all-day job, boy, because it's the same thing that happened to Moses. The moment Moses is trying to deliver them and take them into the finest life that God has for them called Canaan, they thought he was playing a trick on them. He's brought us out here to kill us and to kill our children. And watch, the very one that God sent that was the most meek man in the earth. The meek means you can just talk about him and he won't say anything back and so forth. He was totally submitted and wanted to bring them out, yet they wanted to stone him and kill him. And I'm saying, when I'm coming and saying, hey, come on, let me show you the scriptures, that's going to take you out. Oh, something's wrong with that. And the reason why people say that is because their minds have been so gripped by the forces of darkness until I figure that if I pump enough word in there, it'll break those chains and something will fall off and they'll receive this thing and do for God. You see, God is not just only after you. He's after everybody you will touch. Everybody you will touch. And if he can bless you enough, you will become a platform for other people wanting to know about what is going on in your life. And that's what we do, folks. We come in here and give the word because a true witness delivers souls. A person who's speaking the truth, and that truth will set you free. And so what we have to do is keep pumping it in. No matter how people talk about me or what they say, keep pumping it in. No matter what it looks like, people are stagnating, not growing, keep pumping it in. And that's why he called me, because I won't give up on you. I won't say, it won't work. No, no, no. You keep hanging around here long enough and you will be converted. And that's the power of the word of God. And it doesn't make any difference what background you are, whether you're from one of Hispanic nations or European nations or Africa, doesn't make any difference. The word of God is more powerful than anything in this earth. And it will convert a soul. So the Bible says over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, put it up on the board, please. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Here's what he says. For now, brethren, this is Paul talking. I commend you to God unto the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And I'm telling you, if I soak enough of that word in you, that whatever's holding you got to let you go. You can't keep hanging around here. If you've been broke, you won't be broke anymore. Listen, it may take a little longer with some people because the enemy has built up such a wall of resistance and they think they got it all and know it all and their degrees and PhDs or so forth. But this is on another level. You can't get this off of the chalkboard in the school's house. You got to get this from the Holy Ghost. And it'll take you to a level that the world can't even touch. Folks, look at what's happening in the medical profession today. I'm just talking about now this, and I'm talking about physicians. Now, God calls physicians, and he anoints physicians because they become apostles of healing. But look what's happening. I mean, the medications look like more and more medications are saying this. This is good for headaches, but it will clog your artery. It'll stop your heart. It'll make your kidney shut down. It'll so forth. More and more medications have more and more side effects. Why? Because even though man is intellectually growing, he's going further from God. And all healing comes from the Word. All healing. I don't care what they say won't hurt, won't help you. You get that Word of God and you keep pouring it in, pouring it in, pouring it in, pouring it in. Pretty soon what's holding you will have to let you go. I don't care what it is. That Word is more powerful than any intellectual medical report. That Word is more powerful than that x-ray that you saw. That Word is more powerful than that diagnosis that you got. That Word is more powerful than any knowledge that comes from the medical books. That Word doesn't need any medical book. It doesn't need any x-ray. It doesn't need anything. Only thing it needs is your mouth and your heart. And it will turn around anything in your life. Say amen to that. You start confessing that word, and you better get ready for a miracle. Say, I'm ready for a miracle. Now, the last thing, glory to God. So you can read this yourself. Luke chapter 15, you see two people. One was called a prodigal son. He went away. Spent all that he had, ran out of money, hooked himself on with the citizens of that country. And then the next thing you know, glory to God, I feel healing in this place. Man, I feel healing. Hallelujah. Ooh, Rabbi Shatta. Man. Ah, can't you feel that? That's healing anointing right there. That's deliverance anointing. And woo-wee. And where was I? And prodigal son, yeah. But notice, the one that stayed back with the dad, once the other one came back, confessed his sin, and dad put him, gave him the best robe, put shoes on his feet, ring on his finger, so forth. In other words, put him on the throne. He became a joint heir. Next thing you know, the other one heard music and dancing. And he said, what's going on in there? She said, well, your daddy has just... Your brother came back and he's giving him a party. Gave him a party. Now he went out there and the father came out to get him and he said, son, come on in. He said, wait a minute. This boy went out and slept with prostitutes and you're going to take him back? Let me tell you. God can take a zero and make him a hero. Why? Because he can reconstitute your whole brain. He can put another one in there. While you sleep. He put Adam to sleep and pulled the whole woman out of it. Am I right about it? No, no. What we're trying to do is intellectually figure it out. It's beyond the intellect. Intellect's been programmed by the system of this world. It was programmed by the system to keep you in the system. Now you're about to escape the system. But you just can't walk out. You got to break out. You got to break out. You got to make up your mind. I'm done living like this. I've been poor long enough or barely making it, whatever it is. Are you following what I'm saying? Been sick long, whatever it is. So last thing, let's just look at this again. Turn back here again. Lord have mercy. What was that? John 10. What did I say? John 10. Okay, that's what I thought I said. Did I say something else?
No.
I'm kidding. All right, now watch this. Now here's what I want to give you. Faith is governed by a higher law than time. Now you got to know that. When faith declares when something will be, natural time will always submit. When faith declares when something will be, natural time always submits. And produce the evidence as decreed by faith. Time bows to faith. All right, I just want to show you just one place. I know I have you here. In John chapter 10, look at verse 30. I and my Father are how many? I and my Father are how many? One. Whatever God can handle, you can handle. You ready? All right, now I just want to show you this. All the way down here, it says in verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are what? God's. Now notice what he's doing. He's connecting you back to a supernatural source. Okay? You just can't, I know you were born in Georgia, but that's a natural birth. The real you were born out of heaven. Got it? You were born where there is no time. All right? And you are more spiritual than you are natural. All right, let me just show you one case in point. Let's just go over here and we're done. Numbers chapter 17. I didn't mean to keep you this long. But somebody got me in the zone. Numbers chapter 17. Let me know when you get there. Time will subdue everything and everybody to its natural progression if you allow it. Time will subdue everything and everybody, or one, to its natural progression, if you allow it. If God planned for you to be under the control of time, he never would have given you faith. If God planned for you to be under the natural progression of time, he will never, and under that control, he would never have given you faith. Because once you come into faith, time stops. Time does whatever faith dictates. Faith connects you with heaven. And the provisions in heaven are enormous. Faith sees. And faith takes. Now, if I see it in the Bible one place, then I'm going to receive it. Now, it's more than one place in here, but let me just show you this, because this is all I want to show you, and I'm going to let you go. The reason why is because you and I shouldn't have to wait on time to tell us when something's going to happen. You remember Bishop Oyedepo talking up here? He said, growing your ministries is not a function of time. That he knows people who've been in ministry 40 years and still have 40 people. All right, translate that to business. Growing your business is not a function of time. It's a function of truth. That's what he said. Man, when he said that, everything turned around. You know how people can give you one key and all of a sudden everything will open up? Oh man, I said, that was a piece. That was a piece. I could teach that. I could get lessons on that. Okay, now watch this. Because we have been oriented to time. So when we consciously think of things, we're thinking, I need time. But Jesus was steady, dominating time. So where it took time to grow old and get wise, he was wise at 12. And why did, wait a minute. Well, he like that because he was the son of the Almighty God. Wait a minute. Beloved, now are you the sons of God. That's what the scriptures say. The scriptures saying he is an example of what you should be like. We put the time thing in there, and we did that because that's where Adam fell. But you are not under that anymore. You have been redeemed. You are back up in the eternal, and you don't have to wait on time. I'm telling you, we're waiting on some things on this bank and so forth. I've been waiting and so forth. And God said, what are you waiting on? You remember the man by the pool of Bethesda? He was waiting on the moving of the water. What are you waiting on? I said, well, I'm waiting on some people to come, capital, some people come invest and so forth. He said, well, why don't you call it in? I said, well, I've done that. I'm just waiting on. He said, wait a minute. See, your heart is thinking you have to wait. He said, find a place in there, every place that I delivered within 24 hours. I began to find it. I began to find it. Say amen to this. Man. Now watch this. This is just one place in the old covenant. Now understand, you're under a better covenant. Boy, it's 9 o'clock. Can I just finish this sentence right here? Listen. Okay. Now I'm just talking about the business side of it. Because faith is to be applied to every sphere of your life. Don't just apply it to that. You had some things going on and so forth. Hey, they might have been going on for years, but they were coming up children of Israel coming up against Goliath, and they had been coming up against him for 40 days. And notice what happened. David comes up in one day. And this is what he said. This day will the Lord deliver you into mine. Are y'all with me? I'm out. What time? I'm out of time. And everybody... Watch this. And Moses, verse 7. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed, and blossomed, and what else? Fruit. You all right? So what happened? They were fussing about who's the leader. God said, I'll prove who the leader is. Every leader, all 12 of you, take your rods, put them in the tabernacle. Come back tomorrow. And the rod of Moses had branches, leaves, and fruit, and was never stuck in the ground. Am I right? But notice, God overrode time. And I'm saying, whatever he did, he's given us the word so we have faith that we can do it too. Thank you. Give the Lord a praise. Would you for that? All right. Let me do this right quick. If you are okay, if you're here and God has spoken to you about being born again.